1340 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Democrats and some Republicans say the House Ethics Committee should release its report on sex accusations against Donald Trump's choice for Attorney General. Attorney Joel Leppard represents two women who say they were paid to have sex with Matt Gaetz.
They do want the public to know that they are not lying. They did not come forward willingly. They've never spoken to anyone without the force of a legal subpoena.
Driving in parts of Manhattan will cost you $9 more starting January 5th. New York Congressman Jerry Nadler on where the money goes.
We have to pay for our mass transit system. Otherwise, it's going to deteriorate greatly.
Officials say they hope more people will use mass transit. For the first time since Hurricane Helene, tap water in Asheville is drinkable. The water department's Clay Chandler says tests on the tap look good.
They were all clear of E. coli and coliform, which will allow water resources to lift the boil water notice today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A case of hepatitis A has been confirmed by the City of Milwaukee Health Department. The person is an employee of Beans and Barley and worked between October 31st and November 13th. The city stressed that there is no ongoing risk, but they are offering vaccinations to those who may have been exposed during the time frame. There was a vaccination clinic today, with more options available through local pharmacies and health department clinics. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde announced today he is conceding the race to Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin. It comes nearly 2 weeks after the election.
As a result, and my desire to not add to political strife through a contentious recount, I've decided to concede the election.
The Madison businessman released a video on social media detailing his decision. The Associated Press declared Baldwin the winner on November 6th, but Hovde and his campaign declined to concede for several days. In a video released last week, Hovde said he was weighing his options and raised questions about vote totals in Milwaukee. Hovde reiterated those questions today, but said he wouldn't proceed with a recount. State and Milwaukee election officials have affirmed the vote totals and refuted Hovde's, quote, baseless claims. Winter weather is knocking, and it just happens to be Winter Weather Awareness Week. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
There were 45 cold-related deaths in the state last year, and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services says there were 861 emergency department visits and 225 hospitalizations from cold-related illnesses. And this is exactly why you'll want an emergency kit with a shovel, sand, or cat litter. And go toss a heavy blanket, extra gloves, hat, and water in the trunk right now. Those are essentials in dire situations. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Houston Rockets. Head coach Doc Rivers fined $25,000 by the NBA for complaining about the refs after Saturday night's loss to the Hornets. Giannis Antetokounmpo has to comment.
This is my 12th year. Rule number one, don't give away your money. And rule number two, don't forget rule number one.
NFL, the Packers with a 20-19 win over the Bears in Chicago, thanks to a block kick by Green Bay defensive lineman Carl Brooks. It's the first time in 85 years the Packers have won a game with a block kick. Jordan Love.
A lot of emotions, obviously, final play of the game. They're going to kick a field goal. We know what we need to do. You know, we need to go out there and get a block, and man, that was a huge play.
College football, Badgers head coach Luke Fickell has fired his offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, after losing 16-13 to Oregon.
The games that have come down to the fourth quarter, the games that have come down to the most critical times, the deep, deep waters, we still have yet to get over the hump and find a way to pull it out.
That's Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with rain tonight and breezy. Temps rise slowly through the 50s. Rain wraps up in the morning, cloudy and windy through the afternoon with temps remaining in the 50s. Cloudy and breezy on Wednesday, maybe a sprinkle or brief shower and highs in the upper 40s. Right now it's 48.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll invite our old friend and colleague Luke Mathers for Tuesday Tangents with Luke and a report on Wisconsin basketball. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening, for being a part. You can join us anytime, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line, and it is a text line as well. Jazzed as hell to introduce to you our friend John Nichols. You know him locally at the Cap Times, nationally at the Nation. John, we haven't spoke since the contest. And of course, I mean the Jake Paul Mike Tyson. No, I mean the election. Hey, John, welcome back. How you doing?
Great to be with you. You know, sad that we don't have Eric Humpty in the race.
Right. Let's start there since you brought it up. We talked a little bit about it, his concession speech where he still laments apparently the way Milwaukee counts their ballots by law and ends up having the results posted, you know, at early morning after the election. And of course, his big concern about the third parties that have sucked some votes away from him. What was your sense of the Hovde campaign, John?
Well, look, I mean, in fairness to Eric Hovde, he ran a strong campaign. I mean, he finished very, very close. This is the second U.S. Senate race in 2 years where we've come down to a handful of votes separating the winner and the loser. I think Mandela Barnes did a little bit better, but Eric Hovde was very competitive here. And he probably has a political career going forward if he wants to. If he wants to run for governor, as many people suggest, or again for the Senate, maybe for Ron Johnson's seat in 4 years. I mean, he's built up a lot of name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
But you do know why. You know, I think actually he could have played this out even longer and gone to a point where, you know, he waited till the canvas of all the votes was in and then looked at you know, whether to do a recount or something like that. But I think what you saw today was a decision on Eric Hovde's part to, you know, kind of strengthen his claim on future races, right? He ultimately didn't deny the result. He didn't, you know, drag the thing out for, you know, into December, so you have Christmas Eve recount.
Well, he didn't deny the count, John, but he was certainly lamenting the integrity. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. And I think that wiser heads prevailed. So he's out of the running. Tammy Baldwin is back in the Senate after a very, very close race.
Mm-hmm.
But this highlights, which is an interesting thing, is that it takes time to count ballots. And I know that appears to drive, you know, Donald Trump and maybe Eric Hovde crazy. They just it really bothers them. But what is your alternative? Do you really want, you know, kind of people to just rush it through on election night, even if it's not accurate? Or do you want them to get it right?
Right.
And that's what happened in Milwaukee, is they actually set out to get it right. And, you know, in the scheme of things, the weird reality is that the long count almost always ends up benefiting Democrats, not because it's unfair or not because it's, you know, fraudulent or anything like that. It's because it takes a longer time to count lots of votes than it does a handful of votes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so where does the long count in the United States tend to play out? Big cities and states with huge populations. So they're still counting votes in California.
Right.
I don't happen to think that's a good, you know, at a certain point, you know, I think you really should get it done. And I wonder about the California system. I do think it takes an awful long time. But with that said, should Eric Hovde decide to run for office in California, he will experience a very long count.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is John Nichols, our friend from The Nation and from Cap Times. John, it was kind of a shock for lots of folks on our side. You know, I wasn't as surprised perhaps as many, kind of like the last time. I'm kind of a jaded old guy now, John. A lot of hand wringing and Monday morning quarterbacking. What was your biggest takeaway? I noticed a lot of folks, including you, John, talking about the time spent with Liz Cheney. You know, I thought it was great to get some of the Never Trumpers on board. But, you know, bring them up on stage, have them sing a song, and then, you know, leave them in the city and continue on your tour versus, you know, starting a new band. They were prevalent. What was your sense on the return on that investment, John?
Yeah, let's play out your analogy, okay?
Okay.
They had a chance to get Jimmy Page come up and play with them on guitar. And they decided to go with your little brother. You know, I mean, it, with all due respect, there were so many places. I don't begrudge Liz Cheney. She did do something courageous. She stood up to Trump.
Yeah.
And give her due. And same with Adam Kinzinger. Same with a bunch of these other folks. But you notice that Adam Kinzinger, I think he endorsed Harris. But then, you know, that was that, right? You headed on to other things. With Cheney, it became this big production, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went to Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin with her. They went to Wisconsin twice. They went to Ripon and to Waukesha County. They did all this stuff with Cheney. And those were days taken away from a 107-day campaign, not a very long campaign. You don't have a lot of time. You certainly don't have room to make mistakes.
Right.
And so days were spent with Liz Cheney, you know, trying to win over some Republican, and they weren't spent at the UAW hall in Kohler or in Sheboygan, I apologize, or the former UAW strongholds in Janesville and Kenosha and Racine. Could you have gone with Sean Fain or somebody else, maybe Bernie Sanders, to one of those towns? Would that have helped more? In my opinion, unquestionably, yes. A tour with Bernie Sanders of Wisconsin college campuses, would that have helped more than appearing with Liz Cheney? I say yes. And the interesting thing is that when all was said and done, I think Trump's vote went up in Ripon, right? He actually did better in Ripon this time around than he did last time. So the trip to Ripon, not a big success. And then you got Waukesha County. Now, in fairness, in Waukesha County, the Trump vote held. He got 59% in 2020. He got 59% this year, right? And some people say, well, you see, that's a success because things went worse other places, right? Things didn't get worse in Waukesha County.
Yeah, right.
But the whole point of going to Waukesha County was to make things better.
Right, to produce more out of Waukesha, to balance out what you're going to lose somewhere else.
Exactly. And so, you know, they knew they had challenges in, you know, some rural areas and in some smaller cities. So if you're going to, you know, gamble it all in Waukesha County, you don't gamble it to hold your own, right?
Yeah.
It's like you go there to increase the percentage. And the facts on the ground are that they just didn't get the boost that they were looking for. Now, do you beat somebody up for that? Well, you know, not horribly. I'm sure, you know, mistakes are always made. Campaigns are busy, busy times and stuff like that. But I would say that if you're going forward and you want to learn lessons about politics, here's a good lesson. A woman that just got voted out of Congress by like a 75-25 margin, you know, in a very Republican state, may not be the best vehicle to win Republican votes.
Mm. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's our friend John Nichols from the Cap Times and from The Nation. John, I saw some social media postings on the actual popular vote. I guess, you know, given my angst on the election after the result, it seemed like much more of an ass whipping than it actually was. My rough math says that Harris lost by about 2.6 million on the popular vote, which was less than about 7 million that Trump lost by in 2020. Why does it seem like this is much more of a beatdown than it actually was?
Well, this is it, right? On election night. And in the days after the election, like, it wasn't just Fox News. Fox News was saying it was a landslide for Trump. And but Associated Press was also referring to it as some kind of decisive victory, you know, big victory. At the end of the day, this is where it ends up. There's still votes being counted in California, so it's got to be sorted out a little bit.
Right, right.
But Trump has fallen below 50%. So the majority of Americans who cast ballots didn't cast ballots for Donald Trump. That in itself is, you know, makes it hard to claim a powerful mandate.
Mm-hmm.
But also the margin between Trump and Harris, which on election night was something like, you know, in the range of 3 points, maybe even a little bit more. You know, you got a little bit of a margin there, and Trump is well above 50%, all this stuff like that. He's not above 50% anymore, and she has gone up significantly. So now the percentage margin is about 1.7%. And you say, well, that's still a win. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a smaller win than in the overwhelming majority of presidential races in the history of the United States. Way smaller. And I will note, it's way smaller than Biden's win in 2020, which, by the way, Trump denied.
Right? Let's not forget.
And still does.
It said that's not credible, right? Exactly. It's way smaller than Obama's win. It's smaller than, you know, when you run through the list, it just goes on and on and on. There are very few presidents who have won as narrowly as Trump. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't get elected. And you don't deny that. But what you should recognize is that if this guy doesn't have the votes of a majority of Americans, most Americans did not want him to be president, and he didn't win by a substantial margin, then maybe when he says, let me do any crazy thing that comes into my head because it's the will of the American people, Democrats and perhaps even a few sensible Republicans might push back and say, actually, that's not the case.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is John Nichols from the Cap Times and from The Nation magazine. He's going to come back with us for one more segment. John, appreciate your time today. When we come back, I want to talk about the DNC. Apparently, you know, elections have consequences and can't keep the party running on and on. Now, apparently, a bunch of staff members getting laid off. They made sense. That DNC got so much money this cycle, and they're just kicking folks out. I want to talk about that. Plus, also, John.
I want to talk about that, too.
Also, John, you know, you're the journalist, the opinion maker here. I want to get your thoughts on the Morning Joe. They started out their broadcast today, telling us they went down to Mar-a-Lago, the enemy of the people, dining with the fascists. We'll come back with John Nichols right after this, 855-752-4842.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about a couple of things to keep in mind when you're between jobs or when money is scarce. Number one is a reminder that most of us are already tracking. As best you can, only use credit in emergencies. You know, like a medical emergency or when your only car breaks down. Try your best not to use them for everyday type expenses. That could cost you a lot more over time. Now, number two, if you know you're going to have a hard time paying your creditors, talk to them right away. You know, have those conversations before you fall behind on your bills. They might accept a partial payment, They might be willing to work out some other arrangement with you while you're in a tough spot. And yeah, nobody likes having those conversations, but it's better than the stress of avoiding creditors later. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. John Nichols from The Nation, from The Cap Time, sticking around for one more segment. Thank you for doing so, John. And you can find him on Twitter, the X, as they call it now. You can find him, his handle, I guess we'll call it, at Nichols Uprising. I follow you, John, and that's where I saw this doozy today, a betrayal of party values, DNC staff union statement on staff layoffs. John, it sounds like people are getting let go left and right over at the DNC. It's kind of tough to read, given how much money they made this. And it also kind of like accentuates the point that maybe there's some, I don't know, some misguided thought processes going off at the DNC. John, what can you tell us about the staff layoffs over there?
Well, that's a polite way to say it. First off, I want to note, listening to your bumper music, not that this is exactly apropos, I understand the distinctions between bands and stuff like that, but I think it's important to note that Iron Maiden has a bigger plane than Trump.
The 6'6". And actually, Bruce Dickinson? Bruce
flies it, yeah.
Flies it, yeah. He has his pilot's license. He flies it, yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, just as you're, because I'm going to recommend it, future bumper music, because you seem to be.
Oh, we got some Maiden.
Oh, we got some Iron Maiden.
We got always got Maiden on standby, John.
As I heard the, I feel like you're going toward a metal sound. You might want to honor it.
All right.
With that said, yeah, to the DNC, really, talk about ungrateful.
Come on.
I mean, really, come on. It's like you pour your heart and soul into this campaign, and they don't make it easy for you, right?
No.
They run Joe Biden for most of the year, and then they pull him out, and they say, okay, now you got 107 days to elect a new candidate, right?
Right!
And they're like, okay, we're going to do it. We're ready. They work and work and work and work and work. And I have had plenty of criticism of the DNC, but I think that staffers actually, put their heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
And then they end up losing, and that's a bummer, and everybody's talking about, well, we've got to, pick ourselves up and go forward. Except you. You're not coming with us.
No.
And it's just a depressing, awful. I mean, if you could think of a worse headline,
yeah,
right?
No.
DNC begins layout. First, because, ideally, the Democratic Party is supposed to be a party of unions, working class, and
mm-hmm.
it might take better care of it.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is, they're even apparently doing it without severance.
Yeah.
And so it's horrible. And it's a reminder, quite frankly, that the Democratic National Committee really needs new leadership. There's a whole bunch of reasons that have to do with losing.
Sure.
But there is, beyond it, just a kind of a lack of understanding of optics, right?
Right.
And a couple of weeks after the election, laying off a bunch of folks and not doing it with transparency and apparently not with severance looks awful. And that is why I tweeted about it or tweeted it.
Yeah, it seems awful. Very reflective of how the campaign ended up going. John, what's your sense on the different on the results? I've seen some lamenting and some articles talking about, you know, working class versus middle class and that versus the demographics of different different groups. Do you think, as we look back now and a couple weeks in, that the Democrats that they missed the working class, quote unquote?
Yep, I do.
Yeah,
not entirely. There's plenty of working class voters that voted Democratic. In fact, among union members, because unions do internal education, it looks like they held their numbers, right? They did pretty well. But among the unorganized working class, folks who aren't in unions, they really collapsed. Mm. So somehow the messaging wasn't there. And I think that you just have to accept that happened.
Yeah.
You can't deny it. If you do, it's absurd. And I don't, for me, it's not hindsight. I wrote a piece 2 weeks before the election saying, you guys got to talk a little more about trade, like free trade and things like that people are a little upset by. You know what I mean? They needed to ramp their message up in those areas. They didn't do it. And I think it did hurt them. It's not the only thing that hurt. There's plenty of things you can focus in on. But I do think that there was a real problem there. And frankly, there was a real challenge among young men, young working class men. It looks like a lot of them crossed over and voted for Trump this time, and they hadn't in the past. And so if the party wants to, kind of look to the future, what they've got to do is start to dissect all that, right? Figure out why that happened, why they lost, a group that's sort of in a demographic they usually had won, and especially among working class voters. If they don't do that, they run the very real risk of trying to cobble together a party of I don't know, Liz Cheney fans, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's going to get them to big majorities.
No, I think that's been proven to be the case, given the Liz Cheney tour. John, just a couple minutes left here. I want to throw out there your thoughts. The MSNBC crew, Joe and Mika, announced today they went down to Mar-a-Lago and bent the knee or kissed the ring or just had a good conversation with a fascist who calls them the enemy of the state, enemy of the people. John, my reaction initially was, ugh, but I'm looking for some guidance, man. What do you think?
Well, I think your reaction initially was, and then you thought, maybe I should get a plane ticket and head down to Mar-a-Lago,
as a radio host.
No, look, I mean, this is one of the challenges with Joe and Mika, right? They are the purest distillation of the conventional wisdom in American politics, right? And there's two things about the conventional wisdom. It never has courage, and it's usually wrong. And so they are like, oh, wow, things have shifted, in a way that could affect our contracts. And so we're going to go and find a new way to cover Trump. Right. Well, I wouldn't have liked it, frankly, if they, let's say Harris had won and they had flown out to wherever Harris lives, I don't know, San Francisco or wherever, or I guess the vice president's mansion, and wanted to meet with Harris, right, to figure out how they're going to cover her. At some fundamental level, that's just not the way to do this.
Yeah.
I would want Morning Joe, which is a very influential show, to be combative in its coverage of Kamala Harris if she had won, and to be combative in its coverage of Donald Trump if and when he won.
John, I got to cut you short there. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank John Nichols from The Nation, from The Cap Times. Go with your instincts, folks. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A $3 million investment in affordable housing was announced today in Milwaukee County. County Executive David Crawley made the news at the historic Bucyrus Erie site in South Milwaukee. Project aims to create new housing units specifically targeting low-income families and veterans. There was heated conversation in the Wisconsin Supreme Court today. It's over whether or not Elections Administrator Megan Wolf gets to keep her job. Savannah Tomei-Olson has more.
The argument here is over statute. The Elections Commission did not nominate her for reconfirmation by the state Senate. But she also wasn't fired, which the commission has the full authority to do kind of whenever they want. So instead, her position is basically in limbo. She and Democratic members of the commission argue she gets to keep her job as a holdover. Meanwhile, Republicans say she should be removed because she was never reconfirmed by the Senate. Here, Justice Janet Protasiewicz pushes the lawyer representing the GOP.
Three members of WEC could essentially keep this appointment away from the people's representatives.
I think it's just the opposite. Don't you think it's a little fishy that the three Republican members of the commission, those three commissioners, voted to approve her and appoint her to send it to the Republican legislature, which is obviously going to debunk her?
The court currently has a liberal majority. It could be weeks or months before we get a decision on this case. Also in front of the state's highest court is the 1849 abortion law.
The Navy is adding a new vessel to its fleet, and they're doing it in Milwaukee. The commissioning of the USS Beloit will take place Saturday, and the ship's already docked in the city. After the ceremony Saturday, the USS Beloit will embark on its journey to its new home at Naval Station Mayport. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's been lots of talk in the news lately about celebrity biopics. Some that make you go, really? Mariah Carey, however, has a great bio with many elements that would make an interesting drama. She had a toxic marriage to a record producer, has the most popular modern Christmas song ever, is loaded with grit and resilience, and seems to value privacy unlike some other pop icons. Most importantly, when it comes to her career, she holds the record for the solo artist with the most number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100. That's right, folks. She's got more number one hits than Elvis. Director Lee Daniels hinted at the possible film on social media, which would be based on the 2020 book about Carey titled The Meaning of Mariah Carey. Staying in the world of biopics, Boyz II Men is also working on a film about their 30-year career. The influential R&B group with hits like It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday and End of the Road are four-time Grammy winners. There is no release date at this time. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with rain tonight and breezy. Temps rise slowly through the 50s. Rain wraps up in the morning, cloudy and windy through the afternoon with temps remaining in the 50s. Cloudy and breezy on Wednesday, maybe a sprinkle or brief shower and highs in the upper 40s. Right now it's 48.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday morning, Hans Breitenmoser talks about who might be Donald Trump's next agriculture secretary, or will Robert Kennedy Jr. be the boss of all farming and food?
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can join anytime. I want to thank our most recent guests today, John Nichols from the Cap Time and from The Nation Magazine. And before that, Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Folks, it's your turn now, 855-752-4842. Want to squeeze this one in here while we have time today. Mass deportations would devastate dairy farming and other businesses. Some say the U.S. dairy industry would collapse if not for immigrant workers. Rick Barrett reporting over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Really?
Oh, that's, I mean.
Who would have thought?
Who would have had? Shouldn't someone have said something?
I mean, it seems like we should have had this discussion before we talked about mass deportations. Mm. It seems very important, you know, kind of like beer is to the state of Wisconsin, Hovde.
Beer, cheese,
milk, butter. Come on. Some good reporting here from Rick, but something that's lacking that I'll point out as well, at least to my humble opinion, Mr. Barrett, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If not for his longtime Mexican employees, dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser Jr. said he would be forced out of the business. His herd of around 400 cows must be milked three times a day, 365 days a year. Oh, my God. Now, the farm, the dairy farm, my neighbor's dairy farm that I grew up on, that I worked on my senior year in high school. I got up at 5 o'clock every morning my senior year in high school and went down the farm and milked the cows every single day. Hardest I ever worked in my life, folks. Never want to do that again. And that was like 110. This guy's got 400 milking cows. And we did ours twice a day. They're doing these cows three times a day. That's a lot of milking. As the article says, his 10 or so foreign-born employees have proven reliable even as the pipeline for other workers in Lincoln County dried up long ago. Many other businesses probably feel the same way. Yeah, it's tough work. More than 30 million immigrants were in the U.S. workforce as of 2022, accounting for 18% of all U.S. workers. Lawful immigrants made up the majority of the immigrant workforce at 22.2 million, according to Pew Research. It doesn't matter if these people are from Mexico or Mars. It doesn't matter because we need X number of people to run the economy. And if they're not here, it doesn't work, Breitenmoser said. Yet President-elect Donald Trump's pledge to deport unauthorized immigrants could trigger a labor crisis at a time when businesses are struggling to find hired help. The threat of large-scale deportations was a cornerstone of Trump's election campaign as part of his promise to secure the U.S. southern border. Much is still unknown about how the plan would be implemented, and many doubt whether it's realistic, but workplace raids are certainly a possibility. I would be surprised if employers didn't already have a playbook for what to do, said Brian Jacobson, chief economist for Annex Wealth Management, a Brookfield-based investment management firm. Well, Brian, if they don't have trouble finding workers now, I imagine they're going to have trouble finding workers then. And the backup plan, Brian, will be to what? Have to increase wages to such a degree in order to attract those folks that would actually do the job. That's going to raise costs, don't you think? I mean, I don't know that.
Well, they're not going to swallow the price.
There's a plan. There's not. I highly doubt, Brian, that people have a plan. I mean, I hope Hans has a plan. But really, I mean, they're just trying to get through the day. They got 400 cows of milk three times a day, plus all the other stuff. Man, you got a plan. I mean, if you had a plan, they implement that now. You could hire some local works. You know, I was the neighbor kid. You know, I was the 17-year-old coming down to work on the dairy farm. Not many kids like me around doing that work anymore. So, I mean, I think that if there was a plan, it would already be implemented. But I digress. I appreciate your opinion, Mr. Jacobson. By many accounts, immigrants provide most of the labor on large and mid-sized dairy operations. Many of those individuals are working in the U.S. without authorization because, unlike seasonal farm workers, there is no employment visa available to them.
Oh, well, that sounds like a perfectly functioning system.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Yeah. We could do something about that if we wanted to, right? Right. Well. Yet dairies that employ immigrants are responsible for 79% of the milk supply, according to the National Milk Producers Federation. dairies that employ immigrants are responsible for 79% of the milk supply. The loss of foreign-born workers would upend the industry and nearly double retail milk prices, the Federation says. Consumers would also face higher prices for other grocery items if unauthorized workers were forced out of food processing plants.
Well, yeah, I mean, think of everything that's made with dairy.
Everything made with dairy, the meat processing, vegetables, all the picking in the fields, all those kinds of things. Dairy farming would collapse in a big, nasty, ugly way, Brighton Moser said. Now, his farm has been through tough times, including a fire in 2014 that destroyed his century-old barn. Oh, that sucks. And years of low milk prices that forced thousands of farms out of business. Some farmers say they haven't encountered a U.S.-born applicant in years. And it's crucial they have immigrant employees to fill those jobs. They're good, decent people who are getting work done that otherwise wouldn't get done, Brighton Moser said. For decades, lawmakers have been urged to create a visa suitable for year-round employment on dairy farms, but the efforts have been thwarted by the politics surrounding immigration and the southern border.
Who would have figured?
Yeah, like imagine Trump. It's still a worthy goal, according to the industry. Quote, dairy farmers cannot lose their current workers without massive disruption to their farms and rural economies. Employees who have been working on dairy farms should be able to continue working and earn permanent legal status, as should their immediate families, the National Milk Producers Federation says. The H-2A guest worker visa program, used by many in agriculture to attract seasonal foreign labor, doesn't fit dairy's year-round needs, but could be improved to make the program worthwhile. Could, should, but it won't. The Trump administration should encourage Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform, such as the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, a bipartisan bill introduced in the 116th, 117th, and 118th Congress, says the National Farmers Union, a trade group representing farmers' interest in Washington, D.C. Now, General Sutler goes on to talk about manufacturing as well, in very good points. But I want to jump down here just a little bit more from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Expect resistance to deportations. The majority of U.S. registered voters said immigrants, both undocumented and legal, mostly fill jobs that American citizens don't want, as opposed to jobs citizens would like to have, the Pew Research survey from August revealed. Some also contend that Trump is bluffing about his threats of mass deportations. Well, I do have an update on that. We'll get to that in just a moment. As a presidential candidate in 2016, Trump promised to deport every immigrant living in the U.S. illegally, then estimated to be 11 million people. He failed to do so, earning him a broken promise on PolitiFact's Trumpometer. Deportations were high during the first Trump administration, at times sweeping up people who were never charged or convicted of any crimes, but the number of deportations were less than under President Barack Obama. Let me just say that again for you Trumpsters out there. The number of deportations under the Trump administration was less than under President Barack Obama. Trump also doubled the number of H-2A visas used in hospitality and other industries, said Rebecca Shee, executive director of the American Business Immigration Coalition, based in Chicago. I think he understands intrinsically, because of his businesses, why immigrants are important. Oh, it affects your industry. That now you get it. Okay, I get it. But you farmers out there, you dairy farmers in Wisconsin, does it affect you? Well, certainly it seems like it would, according to your trade industry groups, according to the people interviewed in this article. Still, Wisconsin's immigrant community is worried. Both Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as ICE, and Customs and Border Protection, known as CBP, are able to make deportation arrests even if local law enforcement doesn't cooperate. And in about 7 Wisconsin counties, including Waukesha, ICE agreements give local law enforcement the authority to detain people or even act as immigration officers. Trump advisors have indicated they could try to expand the use of a process called expedited removal, which would seek to quickly deport people en masse by circumventing the court system. Individuals who have been in Wisconsin for decades, who have raised families here, could be swept up in the raids. The anxiety level is extremely high, Steve Laxton, an immigrant attorney, says. I think one of the things we're seeing is that people who are in lawful immigration processes that haven't been completed are worried. There's more to this. We'll put it in the show notes. You can find at civicmedia.us on the Civic Media app. One thing with the reporting here, and again, if you've listened to the show, you know I've talked a lot about the dairy farmers. You know, I used to work on a farm, and the labor and how much of them. I mean, this is just reinforcing everything that I've already said. But what I didn't see Rick Barrett, the journalist over at the Milwaukee Journal, what I didn't read in this article is, hey, Hans, who'd you vote for? Hey, Hans, who's your friends and neighbors, you know, your community, the other dairy farms, who'd they vote for? And I have no idea where Hans, one of the guys quoted in here, the farmer with 400 milking cows, milk three times daily, where his politics lie. But I would assume, generally speaking, you know, if you're out in the country, you're, you know, statistically speaking, more likely to be a MAGA, more likely to be a Republican, more likely to have voted for Donald Trump. Just like statistically speaking, when those absentee ballots get counted in Milwaukee, those are most likely going to be for the Democrat, in this case, Kamala Harris. So, and I think that's an important part of this conversation, Mr. Rick Barrett, the journalist here at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I think that's important. I think that's a piece that should have its own sub, at least a category. Hey, Hans, you voted for Trump. Why did you do so? Did you not expect that this would happen to your farm? If Trump fulfills his campaign promises that you supported, that you wanted, are you going, well, did you just vote for the demise of your own farm? And is that worth it? I mean, there are a lot of other follow-up conversations I think could be had. I think it's important to know where these folks stand. If you voted for Trump and you're a dairy farmer, and you voted for Trump and he's going to all of a sudden start deporting en masse workers, and all of a sudden you don't have those 10 folks working on your farm, number one, are you as an employer going to be fined at all? Is there any, do you bear any responsibility for creating this environment? Hey, people come here to work. Well, if they didn't have the jobs, they wouldn't come here to work, right? If they weren't employed undocumentedly, right? They wouldn't maybe come here. But of course, we need them. We want them. As an employer, Hans wants them. As the workers, they want it. They want to be here, of course, or working, paying for their families, maybe sending some money back home to wherever they came from. You know, there's a lot of that going on, money getting shifted back and forth. And we need the labor, certainly. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why we citizens, through our government and self-governance, should very easily be able to address and fix these quote-unquote problems, if you actually want to solve them. But if you're going to be a Trump voter and you're a Wisconsin dairy farmer and you employ migrants or laborers that are here undocumented and they get swept up, what are you going to do? I mean, did you think about that before you voted for the guy? Did you think about how that would impact, you know, your life and your family and your farm and your business? If all of a sudden you got to what? Start paying double for the 17-year-old high school student to come down and maybe do a shift here or there? I mean, good luck. We need the labor. We want the labor. We want hardworking folks working here. We like our milk. We like our dairy. We like our beer. We like our manufacturing. We like our meat. We need these things. We need the labor. So if you're in any of those industries and you voted for MAGA, you're voting for your own demise. New York Times. President-elect Donald J. Trump intends to declare a national emergency over immigration and use the military as part of his plans for mass deportations of undocumented immigrants, according to a post he made Monday on social media. His advisors have sketched out such plans before, but Trump's post explicitly endorses an approach using the broad emergency powers of the president to help fulfill his promise to expel millions of people from the United States. And maybe those 10 of those millions of people will be from Hans's farm. That means the price of your milk is going up. 855-752-4842.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win, just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly, obvious, he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Callers, I see you there. Texters are going to get to you momentarily. But as mentioned, we're talking about this Milwaukee Journal article, mass deportations would devastate dairy farming and other businesses. Yep. Followed up by a New York Times piece here where they talk about, what, Donald Trump intends to use emergency powers and military for deportations. Here was the specific paragraph. The president-elect's confirmation of his mass deportation plans came in response to a post made earlier this month by Tom Fitton, who runs the conservative group Judicial Watch, wears those very tight shirts. He's buff. He wrote that Mr. Trump's administration would declare a national emergency and will use military assets to address illegal immigration through a mass deportation program. At around 4 a.m., Mr. Trump reposted Mr. Fitton's post with a comment, all caps, true, with three exclamation points.
Oh, good. We're back to getting updates on serious policy that is going to affect millions and millions of people from middle of the night social media posts.
You thought we got away from that.
I really was hoping that we were done with that.
Nope. Because doesn't every president-elect get out and tweet and post 4 o'clock in the morning, especially when it comes to deporting millions of people, which will drive up prices for every single product those folks are associated with?
Not to mention being absolutely devastating to the millions of families involved.
I'll send them, breaking up, they can all go too. Those all go. And don't forget the billions of dollars it will cost and the social upheaval that is sure to come. 855-752-4842. Are you folks, do you wonder? And I don't want to rip on poor Hans here, who was in this article, and maybe he voted for Harris, maybe he didn't, but I think those are things the readers want to know. Andrew points out, will Hans turn in his undocumented migrants to be deported or just his neighbors? Again, we don't know where Hans stands on the list, but certainly he has undocumented employees working for him. I mean, it's known, right? He basically said that. So is that breaking the law? Is anyone going to go raid Hans's place? Is Hans or anyone like Hans going to have to pay a price for their involvement in this racket to suppress wages, let's call it, to keep prices down. And if you folks voted on inflation, you think this is going to help you? Please help me do the math. Help me do the math. How does deporting millions of people, a big percentage of the dairy workforce, is going to lower the price of dairy? I'm waiting. 855-752-4842. We got one. Someone from the 920, owner of a Dodge County CAFO, told Democratic chair his farm would go out of business if workers were deported, but would still vote for Trump. Go figure. Yes, I guess sometimes if we're looking for logic, that's not necessarily going to be found. 855-75-CIVIC. Let's get to it. Dick from Madtown, you're up. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, isn't it interesting, all of this stuff, but the stuff that has went on in the last week of his appointees.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned to your screener, Caliglia came up because he wanted to put a horse in the Senate, and, you know, in Roman times, and this is kind of what's going on. He's getting the worst and just challenging them.
I usually hire the best people, Dick. Speaking of, and throw this one out there, we'll talk about it more tomorrow, Donald Trump tapping another Fox Business co-host. Hey, Wisconsin's own former Rep. Sean Duffy could be the next transportation secretary. Going to follow up Buttigieg with Duffy. That'll be great. Hey, Charles from the MKE, you're next. Hey, Charles, welcome. What do you got for us?
Dom, you're a smart man. You guys have missed the point. Every time he talked about the immigrants are taking the black jobs, that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Mm.
You know, him always saying black jobs. Yeah, he plans to put the black people back out in the fields working, milking the cows and tending the homes.
So, yeah, that's a point, Charles. Maybe that was just part of the motivation to get the black vote. You know, because they're taking the black jobs. I love how Harris said, maybe this is one of those jobs. You know, it's hard to, I'm not going to get in to pretend like Trump is playing any sort of three or five or 10 dimensional chess. But there are going to be, you know, it's not going to be a puzzle. If folks are taking off those farms, you know, it's going to be tough. Production is going to go down. Prices are going to go up. It's that simple. Tim from Whitewater, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, I grew up on a farm and I have family, and it's you're not entirely right there. Production won't go down. They'll just automate. That's happening anyway, because we've gone from a generation of illegal Mexican-Americans coming up here, Mexicans coming up here to work on the farms. Now, Guatemalans and Nicaraguans, as the Mexicans have moved into higher levels of, or, you know, nicer work in factories and stuff like that. The thing that you're not touching on here is the fact that the reason this happened, whether you like it or not, is that it was the illegal aspect of it. People want a legal process of having immigration and border control. It's as simple as that. It is as
okay, but Tim,
that.
Tim, what about the folks that are Tim? I got it. What about those who are employing them? What about those who are employing them? Do they want it too? I'm asking you, the Trump voters who own the farms, or the factories, or the meat processing plants that have those employees that voted for Trump. What are they voting for, Tim? Can you help me?
They're voting for a legal process of immigration.
Then why are they engaging in illegal employment of those migrants then, Tim?
Well, I've worked in this. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I know, man, because of some money, baby, Tim. I love you, man. Stay tuned. Stay listening. I want to hear more from you. Tom from Madison, sorry, can't get to you today. I want to thank our guest, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Of course, John Nichols, come back tomorrow. It'll be overtime with Maggie Dawn. Stick around. Nightlight with Pete Schwab next.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Earl Ingram.
Join me next time. Sandy Williams will be here for the Politrickster of the Day and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.